Welcome to Pagan Coffee Talk. Here are your hosts, Oswin and Lord Knight. So let's talk about thought forms.
Okay.
What about thought forms? What are they?
Thought forms are literally thoughts. They're ideas that we give form to.
Okay.
I mean, literally, that's what you're doing is you're trying to come up with a primal thought like protect, guard, be on edge. I don't know how else to put that.
Okay. Are these kind of like servitors or is that something different?
Those are actually beams that, for a lack of a better word, are like maybe proto-souls that we can bring over here to do your bidding, but normally this is more like an exchange of I give you something, you do something for me.
Okay.
It's more like a business venture.
All right. So thought forms are created.
Right. Thought forms, think of thought forms as an extension of yourself.
Okay. So say like I wanted to do a home guardian, that would be a thought form.
Right. Because
not
again,
a servitor.
Not a servitor. Think about it this way. Thought forms are more like robots. They're programmed energy to do one specific thing. Now, don't get me wrong. Over time and for as much belief and energy you put in there, they can develop a little bit more like a personality.
Okay, but again, that's still pretty much an extension of
yourself,
the creator.
Right. So it's sometimes they tend to have like parts of your personality, but might be a little bit more dialed up.
Okay.
Sort of like if you're a practical joker, they might be a practical joker, but turned up to the umpteenth degree.
All right.
That, you with me on that?
Right. So it'd be kind of like a home, the home guardian that we had, well, we still have. But was in the possession of one of our coven members.
Yeah.
And our home guardian decided to play some jokes on him and actually scared the piss out of him instead.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
You know, glaring red eyes in the window. And
you know, the fact that, you know, I would love practical jokes that like that myself has nothing to do with this whatsoever.
No, absolutely not.
But again, they're sort of programmed with the whole entire thing of one mission, one goal.
Okay.
All right. Sort of what in your world you're concentrating. Now, again, what we'll sit there and tell you to do is to pick a statue. It doesn't matter what in the world the statue is. It's just something you need to perceive as protection.
Right.
So again,
something you can relate to.
Right. It's like some people will go out and get a statue of a dog or a, you know, or something else vicious.
Right.
And again, the whole entire time you're putting in there, you're just thinking, okay, you are here to patrol your domain. And keeping in mind, your domain when you're creating this. You with me?
Yeah, so I mean, like, we've got a pretty good stretch of backyard here.
Right.
We would have to include that if we wanted that area patrolled.
Right.
Or we could just specifically state that the domain is the house and the immediate area right around the house.
Right. Is what you got to concentrate on. The other thing you got to concentrate on is what do you want it to do? If you want protection or something like that, you sort of got to see them in your mind doing that activity.
Okay, what activity?
Well,
whatever it deems as protection or
whatever you perdeem as protection. If you want it to continuously walk around your house like a soldier, that's what you should be imagining it doing. As you're creating it.
Okay, what if you want to kind of just give it free reign?
Like, if you wanted to imagine it being more like a dog, behaving more like a dog to where it protects a certain area.
Yeah.
That works.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, instead of like marching or patrolling in that sense around your perimeter or the interior. If you want it to just kind of like be, do whatever.
Again, you imagine it to do exactly what it is you want it to do.
But how can you imagine it being free reign? Do you imagine it doing all these activities like marching, running?
Running the whole nine walking. Yards. How in the world do you expect it to guard your house?
Okay, so you pretty much have to tell it everything. You have to tell it how to act, what to do, when to do it.
Right.
Okay, so when does it take on, quote unquote, a mind of its own?
It sort of does that over time, because you got to remember, part of the thing on this is these things require recharging.
Okay, yeah.
All right, there are certain points throughout the year using certain Sabbaths and stuff like that to mark the time to where in the world you're going to pull it down and give it a little extra boost of energy.
Can we discuss which Sabbaths?
Yeah.
How do you know when to recharge it?
Well, I mean, normally you're going to do it like in the springtime when you're doing the spring cleaning anyway.
Okay.
You with me?
Right. So you just take whatever totem you've got and take it to your altar and replenish the
energies. And just reimagining what it's doing and the whole night, reinforcing what in the world you did before.
Okay.
You're doing the exact same spell. So if you imagine it, patrolling your property and whatever, then that's what in the world you sit there and do again.
All right. Now, say it didn't quite work out the first time and you wanted to make some changes. Would this be the time to make those changes?
That would probably be the best time to do this. Now, don't get me wrong. The ones we typically create, they normally survive off that agrarian field.
Well, yeah.
Created when we do ritual.
Right.
So we don't typically recharge ours if we're doing ritual in our home.
Right. Okay. Or,
you with me?
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because it's feeding off of that energy.
It's feeding off that energy.
Which is our energy, but it's also ritual energy. It's...
Well, and one of the other things that help is when you first make these things is you're going to have to give it a name and you're going to have to talk to it.
Right.
When you're leaving the house, telling it by name, hey, watch the house, the whole nine yards. I mean, like our dog hates me because every time I leave, I'm, hey, such and such is in charge and he's not.
Right.
I'm telling the dog that the house guardian's in charge.
Right, which I'm sure he doesn't like, but he'll get over it.
But over time, they typically do start to become more independent over time, and that's the main thing, time, for these to start acting. I mean, again, no matter what in the world they do, they're still going to follow their base programming.
Right.
All right, so they're sort of like bots. In electronics, when we're talking about box out on the net, they're programmed to do exactly what we tell them to do. All right, but they are extensions of ourselves, somewhat.
Right.
You know, most house guardians, I'd sit there and tell you, hey, this is a fun little ritual for the whole family to do, and get everybody involved into this.
Right. So that guardian's got everybody's energy.
Everybody's energy.
Everybody's personality.
Right.
Got a little bit of everything.
Yes, this is kind of amalgamation of your whole entire family.
All right. So now, are house guardians just like a willy-nilly thing, or is there an indication that you need a house guardian, or that you need a thought form, or
what? I'm going to put it to you this way. If you are doing ritual at home,
mm-hmm.
you need a house guardian.
Okay.
Again, we've already talked about this. If you're doing ritual, if you're doing your full moons and if you're doing your Sabbath, you are collecting up that agrarian field. This agrarian field, again, all witches protect their agrarian field like...
Right.
You know, I don't know how to explain that. It's something we all want to protect and to keep private.
Right.
Because it is our energy. It is a... very pure form of us. So it's not like you just want anything there. And I'm going to tell you that because, again, if you're not putting up barriers and stuff in your house and stuff like this, which we've talked about before.
Right.
Even with those, a house guardian helps.
You mean even without the barriers?
Even with the barriers and out the barriers, house guardians help.
Okay. Because, yeah, I mean, we talked about that briefly before, that without the barriers, your shit's going to leak out into your neighbor's property and freak them out, and God knows how long and, far right. out it's going to go. And,
and then you're not sure what beans you're allowing to suck off that energy.
Exactly.
So, again, you need a house guardian there. Again, you can still imagine this house guardian being more like a bouncer.
Okay.
You know, acting in the same way and stuff like that. This is what in the world you're looking for. And yes, we do name them. They have names. We treat them just like we do cats or dogs or pets. Except for when we leave, we literally call out their names as they watch the house, the whole nine yards, and walk right. out. This does not replace locking your doors, have an alarm system.
Right.
Means to defend yourself in case you have to.
No, one instance, I mean, we've had our house guardian for quite a few years. Okay, for a lot of years. And there was a time, just to give everybody an instance of kind of how this works, in case they don't know. Your sister lived with us for a while.
Right.
And she brought in a guy that she was dating. And granted, we didn't really have room for everybody there, but we made do. And we came in one day, and he was on the couch in a fetal position, rocking back and forth, talking about something being in the house. And you're kind of looking at him like, okay, what'd you do? He's like, I didn't do nothing. I was watching, you know, I was washing dishes, and you know, felt like something was watching me, and it felt something tap me on the shoulder. And we were like, okay. But we knew because money had gone missing out of our change jar.
Right.
And that just proved it to us because our guardian.
You were doing something you weren't supposed to do.
Right.
The guardian. You got creeped out.
Right.
The whole nine yards. Yeah.
Needless to say, he left and didn't come back to our house anymore.
Funny how that is.
Oh, right.
Again, you're right. This is how this really does work. Yes, those people get this funny feeling, like they're being watched, creeped out feeling, and then suddenly they're like, I gotta go.
Right.
And then they leave. Then they tend not to come back.
So no, it doesn't replace home security of any kind, like locking your doors and your windows and taking standard precautions for wherever you live. It doesn't replace that, but it sure does help.
It does. But again, you know, yeah, you also got to remember, you know, stealing things off of people's altars and stuff like that
are not
always necessarily a good idea.
No. Once we've had that happen too.
Thought forms can be created for a myriad of things. There was even an idea about creating a thought form just to carry out spells.
Okay. So they don't have to be strictly for protection or for guardianship or anything like that. It can be for some type of service.
Right.
Other than those mentioned.
Right. So it doesn't necessarily have to be protection. They tend to be, majority of the people have a house guardian, and this is what they're talking about as far as a thought form. The thought forms can also be created to retrieve info.
Okay.
And again, that's their whole entire job. You tell them to find out something, they make sure that information falls into your lap. You know, again, you still have to keep them charged and pay attention to them, and
that can be dangerous.
Again, you got to remember, you have to treat these like pets. They require care and talking to just like anything else. So you can't just like always make one and just shove it on a shelf and
forget
two,
about it.
Yeah, 2 years later, go, oh, I forgot all about that.
And expect it to still be there.
And expect it to still be there. That you have to maintain that connection. The majority of the times when we tell people to do this, we tell them to always place a statue, especially if it's a house guardian, like by the front door.
Yeah, that somewhere way, somewhere you'll see it every day.
Every day, that way you'll remember to say, tell it to watch the house when you're leaving and say hello to it when you first get there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, having everybody else in the house do the same thing seems to help reinforce this idea.
Right.
Right.
I mean, for the longest time, ours was housed in wind chimes.
Yes.
That hung on the front porch or the back porch, where whatever you consider the main door of the house was.
Mm-hmm.
He always hung outside
right
there.
Yeah, right as you walked out the door, you always saw him no matter what.
And you could literally see him change positions. One day he might be facing east. One day he might be facing west. And you'd be like, oh, okay, what's going on?
What's going on?
So, you know, it happens.
Yeah. I think that's about it.
All right, so on another topic, let's talk about nature versus nurture.
This was put in there because I've heard this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What behaviors are nature? What behaviors are nurture? A lot of people want to sit there and go like, well, a woman is somebody who wears makeups and a dress and blah. But those are not, to me, are not nature.
Right, because we also know plenty of women who don't wear makeup, don't wear dresses.
And again, when we think about tribal days and when we go back in time, this was not a normal behavior.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But yet they want to say certain things are feminine behavior and some things are masculine behaviors. My question is which is real? What is truly, what part of our personality is actual nature?
How do we determine that?
Well, see, this has got me wondering when I started to think about this is kids have been accidentally raised feral. There was some girls who were raised by wolves.
Okay.
All right. Or a girl that was raised by wolves. This is the whole entire raised by apes and the whole nine yards. This has happened.
Yeah, on rare occasions.
On rare occasions. All right. So that means that these kids that went through this would only seem to display nature behavior versus nurture.
Okay, but is it nature because it's natural for the wolves or the apes or whatever? Well, or is it nature because it's natural for them in that environment?
Well, see, now there's the interesting.
But is that nurture?
Well, or is it
because
nurture
they're learning
because
from
certain dog behaviors?
Right.
You know, like I saw a kid on TV, on YouTube the other day where they were showing them being raised around a bunch of other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby was going around with things in its mouth, carrying it like a dog would.
Right.
Instead of using his hands, because it freed up his hands to kind of, because he was still learning how to walk.
But is that nature or nurture? I see that as nurture because it's learning from its environment.
Well, again, when you're dealing with something like humans, what behaviors do we learn?
Okay, this seems like an infinite question that's never going to be answered.
Well, it seems like it. So when we actually think about this, what are our basic instincts?
Survival,
reproduction.
Right.
You know, are we exactly like in the world they try to tell us where men and women really aren't supposed to be monogamous? Because I've heard that monogamy is a learned behavior, not a natural thing, and that the natural thing for all guys is to, well, try to
spread your seed
as much as possible.
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to be gross here or anything. I'm saying, is this really true?
Well, I mean,
but yet
it seems like it is because so many guys cheat, but then the same can be said about women. There are women who cheat and the guys who are monogamous.
I mean, nowadays, it's kind of like girls have a higher body count than guys.
Right?
So, again, is this learned behavior? Can we even learn behavior that could override natural behaviors?
Well, I do think that's possible because I think that's been done over the decades.
Well, I mean, because, and the reason I think this is, let's, again, not that I'm picking on women, but women tend to want to be more monogamous in relationships. You know, I'm not knocking one way or the other, learned, but that tends to be, hence the reason we have jealousy.
But again, is that learned?
But is that learned? But do you see what I'm saying? But I don't think
is that
jealousy,
a learned behavior?
I don't think jealousy is learned.
You don't think so?
Just, it's an emotion. It's something we have. But if if we weren't meant to be monogamous creatures, why do we have jealousy?
Well, and see, that's my question, because when you take jealousy, for instance, even as kids growing up, you can see the adults in your life getting jealous about things.
Well, yeah.
You don't know what to call it. You don't know it's jealousy.
Well, come on.
But you're still learning that behavior.
We came up during the 30-minute sitcom. How many episodes all of them at some point dealt with jealousy?
Right. They all did.
Of some form or another. A best friend jealous over another friend or over a girlfriend or whatever.
Right. But that's my point. Even as kids, we're still... Technically, we're learning jealousy.
I mean, to a certain extent, we are.
So in that sense, I don't think jealousy is a natural response to anything. I think it's a learned behavior.
No, I think it to me, jealousy is an emotion just like being sad or happy. You're never taught how to be happy. You're not taught how to be sad. When you're a baby, you'll just laugh. Because you think it's funny.
Well, yeah, but as kids, we're not jealous of anything. We're just, because we shared. But then we started getting older and we started seeing examples of jealousy.
I've seen moms that have multiple kids and the kids are really young. And kids start showing jealousy over siblings.
Well, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
Where
yeah,
they
because,
haven't learned enough to really get that far along.
Right. And, you know, if you've got more than one kid and one kid gets something and the other one doesn't. Well where's mine?
Again,
come he or she got one and I didn't?
Again, my belief of why in the world women tend to be lean more towards socialism and communism is because their mindset is there.
You mean as far as the household's concerned?
Right, and how families and stuff, I think their main thing is, no, kids, stuff, no, got to keep peace. You can't give one kid ice cream and not give the other kids.
Okay, so that's a learned behavior.
That, to me, might be a learned behavior.
So that's nurture.
Right. And then, it's self-learned, but that's sort of self-learned.
Well, it doesn't matter, it's still a learned behavior. But as far as jealousy goes, you're saying, and I can kind of see that now. I mean,
we don't learn emotions. We just experience them.
Right.
So you don't learn angers. You don't learn upset. You might not experience jealousy like that as a kid. Like we do when you're going through the puberty thing and the whole nine yards and as adults. And because those feelings start taking on different meanings.
Okay.
And there's other feelings that we don't learn how to love.
No, we don't.
True. I mean, again, we're gay men. We didn't choose to be gay. We just started to find men attractive.
Right.
All right. It's not a learned behavior. It was just a natural occurrence.
Well, again, it's.
And I see the same thing in the boys I grew up with that turned out to be straight. They just started to find certain things attractive.
Well, when you put it like that, even the mothers, as far as households go, being more socialist, when you put it like that, no, it's not really nurture, but it's more like self-nurture.
Right.
And this is more along the same thing, where it's a self-learned
behavior
thing. Well, where we had to learn how to not only love ourselves, but to love somebody else in the process. Even if we had been straight.
Right.
It's not something that we innately know. We have to teach ourselves how to do that.
Right. And again, there are just certain things, like, no explanation here. All right. Now, we're completely different people. You really like vanilla ice cream. I don't.
No, you don't. You can't stand vanilla ice cream.
I cannot stand freaking vanilla. To me, that is a nature behavior for you. Nobody okay. taught you to like vanilla. You no. just like it.
Yeah, it's something I've always liked.
Do you vanilla. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So again, where I see behaviors where it's stuff that you've just always been that way as more nature.
Okay.
And so again, yes, if you have that person around you and they're suspicious of everybody, that might just be a natural instinct for them. And it's not necessarily something they can change. It's just part of the way their brain sort of.
So what about something that's a little more iffy? Can you give me like an example of that? I mean,
where it might be iffy that all women want to get pregnant and have kids.
But we know that not to be true.
Right. That's why I'm saying it might be iffy. Because again, I've talked to a lot of women over the years. A lot of them, when they're young, mm-hmm. say they don't want kids, but as they get older, suddenly do.
Well, that's been attributed to the whole quote-unquote biological clock.
So forth, so on, and stuff. But yet, as kids, they were, as young adults, they were like, no, don't want kids, no, no, no. But then over time, they changed their mind.
Right. So, but I've also seen it the opposite.
I've also seen it the opposite way around, where a woman had kids really early and
just, or wanted kids.
Right. And wanted kids, but once they had them and reality set in on what in the world this was really like.
But I've also known some women who, as children, as young adults, they wanted kids.
Oh, and then
the older they got, they decided, I don't want to have kids.
But again, that's like us assuming that every guy wants to go out to be a soldier or a firefighter.
Right.
You know?
Well, no. I mean, as a kid, yeah, I wanted to be everything in the book. I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to be a cowboy. I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to be an astronaut. And the older I got, I was like, no, I don't want none of that shit.
But again, these are jobs.
Right.
These are not people. These are jobs. Jobs can be done by almost anyone as long as you're qualified to do them.
Right.
You with me?
But, you know, I'll be honest, not at any time growing up did I ever think I want to be a father.
No.
You know, so, I mean, is it nature?
Is it? But you see what I'm asking? This is why, we're never going to answer this question.
I don't think so, no.
All right, again, I mean, I'm not fooling myself or you or anybody else.
Nobody, just food for thought,
it's
right?
It's food for thought, because, again, what we're asking ourselves is, what is actually nature? And even then, does that nature change from person to person? Just like, you know, me liking chocolate, you liking vanilla. Think about it this way. We experience this world through our five senses.
Right.
All right. And before anybody says anything, yes, I know there's more than five senses.
Animaniacs.
Song called the Scent Song.
The Scent Song, yeah.
All right. Trust me, we know there's more than.
That's S-E-N-S-E, Sense Song.
It's the only way we experience it. No, at no time am I sure that I am seeing the exact same hues that somebody else is.
Right.
My brain could be interpreting that hue is actually a different color for me than it is for you.
Which I do believe, because we recently painted the apartment within the past 5 years. And two colors happen to be fairly close to each other. And there's one wall that you're like, I can't tell the difference.
Right.
And I'm like, but there's an obvious difference.
But now on the opposite hand. All right. Now, when we sit there and say that, all right, hence the reason why I have a problem with all the trans people, because you only know how to be yourself. It's not like we're going around being like a, what's his name? The comedian, the short comedian.
Brad. Oh, I don't know his last name.
Yeah, nobody goes around going, I'm a guy, I'm a guy, I'm a guy, I'm a guy, or I'm a girl, I'm a girl, I'm a girl. Just like he does not get up there and do that whole entire, I'm a midget, I'm a midget, I'm a midget.
Right. I'll put a link in the description somewhere.
But that's my point. Guys don't go around going, hey, I'm a guy.
No.
You can only feel yourself. You don't. So if you're sitting there trying to tell me like you feel like a woman, how do you know? You don't. You don't even know if the person sitting beside you, if you pinch them, might get pleasure out of it instead of pain. If you were able to take them and put them in your brain.
Right.
Okay. I mean, we're just assuming that during certain intimate behaviors between adults, that the body suggestions and noises and stuff get that this person's feeling pleasure.
Right.
Because I remember a show called, it was Judging Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the mom because she played on Cagney and Lacey. But anyway, there was a kid, this episode of it was, there was this family and they had like 8 kids. All the kids were well adjusted. The family was a very loving family. Nothing bad.
Right.
Anyway, she was sitting there watching a video of the family playing together. And the littlest one sitting there because they were doing the whole tickle games and stuff like that.
Okay.
All right. And her daughter, Amy, who the show was about, comes in and looks at his mom and goes, what are you watching? That sounds like torture. And then it dawned on her what in the world was going on. The kid was perceiving this playful thing that the rest of the family was seeing as a good thing as a bad thing.
Right.
That's what in the world interests me in this whole entire thing. What part is nurture? What part is nature?
Okay.
You know, just because you perceive it this way, does it really mean everybody else is?
So do you think it's also, it goes beyond like basic emotions and basic actions, but you're saying it also goes into things like our perceptions of pain and pleasure.
Right. Our perception of what in the world we see, how our brain interprets them.
So this whole argument goes into that territory.
Exactly. But you see what I'm saying? Because we only experience things from inside our body. I will never know what it's like to be something else other than this body.
Right.
Because I have no other form of reference. I can sympathize and all that with other people, yes. You with me?
Right.
We do that all day long, and we're using visual cues and stuff like that. But
we're not experiencing that.
We're not experiencing that. Technically, in the back of our minds, if you really think about it, you're not sure. I mean, you see the people, you know, I'm sorry, that's why in the world these S&M people exist. They experience pleasure, I mean, what most people would probably consider playing as pleasure.
Right, but now again, is that nature or is it nurture?
Nurture, that's the point.
Is it something that was discovered at some point? Was it self-taught? Was it environmental?
Or is it just the way your brain is wired?
Right.
And for some reason, pain seems to set off your pleasure centers.
I mean, we could go into a whole nother not safe for work discussion on that. But
you start to see where, you know, again, if you got people that can do this. And yes, I have heard of people who have been flog to orgasm.
Oh, yeah, I have too.
Is this a learned behavior or is this something natured for this person? And then that still brings up, now, don't get me wrong, if we're sitting here and we're arguing this and we don't know if the sky is actually blue or if we're all perceiving the same hue.
Right.
What we can do is, here's the wavelength. We're all seeing the exact same thing here. We're all seeing the megahertz or the energy coming off of it. The whole
thing. Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
So there are things that we can do where we can, like boiling water. We don't have a consensus from scientists on when water boils. We have an actual temperature.
Right, but we can easily tell when water is boiling
by observing it.
Right.
But it has to get to a certain temperature.
Well, yeah, to be technically considered boiling water.
But do you see what I'm saying? There's no argument there.
Right.
Now, we might argue the way it sounds. Because the way my brain might interpret the sound of boiling water and the way your brain might interpret the sound of water could be two different things.
Could be, yeah.
Could be. But I'm going to say, let's go out on a little bit of a limb there going, I think the majority of us experience the world the exact same way. Or majority of the time, that the bulk of everybody.
Okay. I would go as far as to say I like the wavelength thing to where it might be within a narrow range.
Right.
So to speak. But its own kind of a spectrum, if you will.
Yes.
So that we might not actually be seeing the same type of colors or hearing the same exact sounds, but it's within that narrow range on the wavelength that it's pretty much uniform as it is.
Well, I mean, we are assuming there's commonality here because people will sometimes describe experiencing the same thing.
Exactly.
In the same way, maybe not in the exact
same
way.
Or close to
world,
the same way.
Or pretty close.
Right.
So again, I'm not ignoring the fact that there are experiences that everybody is. It's just that there's some point to where we have to start realizing you are an individual and you are perceiving the world in a unique way from everybody else.
Right. And that is strictly considered nature.
Nature. Right.
Everything else could easily be considered nurture.
To some extent, yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, to some extent, because a lot of things are based on the way you experience your environment.
Right, because I mean, I would sort of like to go back and see all these feral kids over the years and see if they've noticed any repetitive behaviors that these kids, and would assume that those are more akin to nurture if they're not demonstrated by the animals that they were raised by. So in other words, if one was raised by wolves or somebody in the canine family,
right,
and someone was raised by coyotes or I don't know, tigers, pick something, and both humans in both situations showed certain behaviors, I would have to say that is nature. That is the nature of humanity, not
okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, they could be two different families of animals.
Right.
Two different species altogether.
Right. So once you take their behaviors out,
commonalities
between the humans raised by two different ones,
right,
would seem those to indicate more nurture behaviors and more of our base human behaviors.
Right. So those commonalities would be the nature.
Right.
And the rest of them would be nurture.
Right. Like the people you were attracted to, I think those are nature. We're just wired to be attracted to those attributes that those people have.
Gotcha.
So again, if you like somebody who's overweight, my assumption is that is part of your, that's not something learned.
Right. No.
All right. You know, if you like tall women, then that's just part of your nature.
Right.
If you like short guys, then that's just part of your nature. You'll never be able to change that behavior.
Right.
When we're looking at like people we're attracted to and stuff like that, that's nature. The way we behave or the way we think we should behave, I think are more learned behaviors.
All right.
I think that's about it.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another episode. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Life Temple and Seminary. Please visit us at lifetempleseminary.org for more information, as well as links to our social media, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning.